They're located at 905 South Neal Street in Champaign or at champaignprinting.com. And now stay tuned for today's episode of Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Deb Fornoff, coordinator of the Arc of Illinois Lifespan Project. But first, disability news for the week of January 18th, 2021. President-elect Joe Biden says he wants to eliminate the practice of paying workers with disabilities less than minimum wage while giving stimulus payments to more people with disabilities. Biden's $1.9 trillion proposal was unveiled last week to address the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and the economic consequences from it. Biden's American Rescue Plan includes $1,400 in direct payments to many Americans and funding to support vaccine distribution, reopen schools, and support state and local governments while also extending unemployment benefits and expanding paid leave. Notably, the plan would provide stimulus payments for adults with disabilities who are claimed as dependents for tax purposes. These individuals have been disqualified from previous rounds of direct payments issued by the federal government since the start of the pandemic. The proposal also calls for eliminating sub-minimum wage for people with disabilities. Under a law dating back to 1938, employers can receive special 14C certificates from the U.S. Department of Labor allowing them to pay individuals with disabilities less than the federal minimum wage of $7.25 per hour and sometimes much less. Many advocates have been pushing for years to end the practice, which they say is outdated and exploitative. Some states and cities have already banned subminimum wage. Biden pledged to support a phase-out of the program. His proposal calls for increasing the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour and eliminating subminimum wage for people with disabilities. Information released so far does not include details about exactly how Biden would like to see this occur or on what timeline. According to some advocates, one area the Biden plan overlooks is Medicaid home and community-based services. Disability advocates have been pushing for months to get extra funding allocated as service providers have struggled in the face of higher costs and lower utilization because of the pandemic. Said Nicole Jorwick, Senior Director of Public Policy at the ARC, quote, "We are deeply disappointed that the dire needs in the Medicaid home and community-based support service system are not included in this initial plan because there is no system that is in need of a rescue more. We know this is just the beginning of what we expect the new administration and Congress will put forward to help the country get through this pandemic and build the needed infrastructure to do so. But meanwhile, people with disabilities, their family members, and direct care workforce are struggling without support, and we need action," end quote. Federal funding to support respite care for families of those with disabilities and other special needs will increase under legislation signed by President Donald Trump this month. The measure, known as the Lifespan Respite Care Reauthorization Act, increases funding for the Lifespan Respite Care Program to $10 million annually through the 2024 fiscal year. The program supports a system of community-based respite care services across the country. Previously, funding for that effort stood at just $2.5 million a year. The bipartisan legislation renews a law that dates back to 2006. Since that time, 41 states have received grants to create resources and help ensure that respite care is available to family caregivers, according to lawmakers behind the bill. There are about 53 million family caregivers across the country, providing some $470 billion worth of unpaid care each year, and the vast majority have received no respite services, the lawmaker said. Jill Kagan is director of the ARCH National Respite Network, which helps administer the federal government's respite care efforts. According to Kagan, quote, "The pandemic has exacerbated the social isolation and economic insecurity felt by family caregivers and their loved ones, with devastating effects on their health and wellness. Respite may be their only lifeline. The Lifespan Respite Care Program, through very modest investments, allows states the flexibility and creativity to make sure family caregivers of children and adults are receiving quality respite services even during COVID-19, end quote. The Trump administration last Friday approved a radically different Medicaid financing system in Tennessee that for the first time would give the state more authority in running the health insurance program for the poor in exchange for capping its annual federal funding. Instead of the open-ended federal funding that rises with higher enrollments and health costs, Tennessee will instead get an annual block grant. The approach has been promoted by conservatives who say strict federal guidelines negatively impact the state's ability to provide care more efficiently. Under the agreement, Tennessee's annual funding cap will increase if enrollment grows. What's different is that, unlike other states, federal Medicaid funding in Tennessee won't automatically keep up with rising per-person Medicaid expenses. The approval, however, faces an uncertain future because the incoming Biden administration is likely to oppose such a move. Meanwhile, the changes in Tennessee will take months to implement before they need final legislative approval, and state officials must negotiate quality of care targets with the administration. Michelle Johnson, executive director of the Tennessee Justice Center, said the block grant approval is a step backward for the state's Medicaid program. Johnson said, quote, "No other state has sought a block grant, and for good reason. It gives state officials a blank check and creates financial incentives to cut health care to vulnerable families," end quote. The agreement is different from traditional block grants championed by conservatives, since it allows Tennessee to get more federal funding to keep up with enrollment growth. In addition, while the state is given flexibility to increase benefits, it can't cut them on its own. Democrats have opposed block grant Medicaid proposals since the Reagan administration, and most recently in 2018, as part of Republicans' failed effort to repeal and replace major parts of the Affordable Care Act. Even some key Republicans oppose the idea because it would cut billions in funding to states, making it harder to help the poor. Implementing block grants via an executive branch action rather than getting Congress to amend Medicaid law is also likely to be met with court challenges. And finally, the Trump administration executed 52-year-old Corey Johnson on Thursday night, despite a Supreme Court ruling that executing people with intellectual disabilities like his violates constitutional protections against cruel and unusual punishment. The government killed Johnson with a lethal injection. In a final statement, Johnson apologized to the victims of his crimes by name. He told his family he loved them and thanked staff in the prison's special confinement unit, spiritual advisors, and his legal team. Johnson's lawyers condemned the execution as a, quote, "stark violation of the Constitution and federal law." Johnson's attorney said in a statement, quote, "The government's arbitrary rush to execute Mr. Johnson, who was categorically ineligible for execution due to his significant impairments, rested on procedural technicalities rather than any serious dispute that he was intellectually disabled. No court ever held a hearing to consider the overwhelming evidence of Mr. Johnson's intellectual disability, and the clemency process failed to play its historical historic role as a safeguard against violations of due process and the rule of law, end quote. And that's the news for this week.
And wept when it was all done, for being done too soon.
You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and you are like to introduce you to a returning guest, Deb Fornoff, who is the coordinator for the Lifespan Project, which is a project of the Arc of Illinois. Welcome to the program, Deb.
Thanks, Vicki. Thanks for having me.
Why don't we start by having you reintroduce yourself to the listeners, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the work that you're doing.
Okay, great. My name is Deb Fornoff, and I have been working with the Arc of Illinois for about 18 years now. Prior to that, I worked for the Family Support Network. So, and I guess the impetus for the you know, I started out in education as a school counselor, and but the you know impetus for the change was the birth of my husband and I, our youngest son Brad, who has Down syndrome and is now, I always debate how to say this anymore, he's 30, so I'm not sure if that's still a young adult, or we're getting a little bit into the middle age, but anyway,
I would call it young adult, because no matter how old he gets, you're still going to be older than him, right?
So that is true. Yeah, that is absolutely
and
correct.
I think I've known you probably for most of those 30 years.
Absolutely.
So it's been a long, yeah. So anyway, you now work for the Arc of Illinois. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about the Arc and what they do as a whole, and then we'll dig more into the Lifespan Project.
Okay, sounds good. So the Arc of Illinois is a statewide advocacy agency focused on people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. They have been working on programs and policies that support people with IDD since about 1950. Actually, they just celebrated their 70th anniversary last year in 2020. The ARC was started by families of people with disabilities who wanted something better for their children. And those families, people with disabilities themselves and professionals in the field, continue today to advocate through the ARC of Illinois. Empowering people with disabilities to achieve full participation in community life through informed choices is the mission of the ARC, and they do that by providing information on key legislative and policy issues. The ARC provides an opportunity for people to stand up together for important policies impacting individuals with IDD, and they provide information and resources through the programs of the ARC. All of those, the programs of the ARC, can be found, the information explaining them and giving you more details about the work they do on the ARC's website at www.thearcofil.org. If you go to that website in the About Us tab at the top, you'll see a button for programs, and that's where you'll find information about the separate programs.
Perfect. So now tell us a little bit more about the Lifespan Project as a whole. I'm sure your work has changed a little bit since COVID, but probably not a whole lot, I'm thinking.
No, not really. There, you know, the Lifespan Program has been around for probably a little more than 18 years, because I started after it had been there for a year or two. But the Lifespan Program came about to fill gaps in services in Illinois. At the time Lifespan started, there, you know, the internet was, you know, brand new. People really weren't familiar with it. Not nearly as many folks had access to it. But it was really difficult to find information about supports and services across the state. And, you know, things have changed and come a long way since then, but there's still a real need for that information. So LifeSpan was created to fill that gap, and they do that in a number of ways. There is a website that has evolved as information and access to information has evolved. We don't look at all like we did back when I started, because as an example, you know, when LifeSpan started, the Illinois DHS Division of Developmental Disabilities information on who provided services had to be FOIA'd. They did a Freedom of Information Act request to get that. It just wasn't available anywhere. Now you can go to the DHS website, and, you know, it might be, you might have a hard time locating some, you know, things sometimes, but it's there. You can find out who provides SILA services, who provides day services. So, you know, there's no longer a need for us to recreate that information, but we do put it in one place so people are able to find it easily. And so, you know, the LifeSpan website is still a really convenient, helpful place for folks to go to find things that are important. But that's not the only way that we provide information. We also answer inquiries by phone. During regular business hours, on weekdays, people can call, they'll get a real person, and we'll do our best to help answer any questions that they have about supports and services or, you know, the kind of information that they're requesting. They can also contact us by email, and we'll respond to their questions that way. You know, prior to COVID, we were really busy across the state getting out there and talking to people at events, transition resource fairs, information fairs, you know, all kinds of events. Those aren't happening anywhere. So, you know, we are reaching out to folks through email and online kind of events. We also started our monthly webinar program a couple years before COVID started. So, you know, during the COVID, when COVID started last March, you know, we worked really hard with the ARC to get information out there really quickly. And we helped put together additional webinars related to COVID, but our monthly webinar still went forward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we still have those every month, and they're really popular. People really like them. They're designed with families in mind to cover a really broad array of issues that are helpful to people across the state and people who are interested of all ages.
So what are some of the ones that you have done in the recent past, say?
Okay, so recently, in December, we had two webinars. We did one with the Illinois DHS Division of Rehab Services Client Assistance Program. We also had one on the transition services that are available from Equip for Equality. We did self-care in November, self-care holiday edition, you know, with the holidays coming up, people tend to get a little more stressed, and so we thought that was a perfect time to bring someone in and talk about that issue. We had two webinars in October. October 20th, we had the Illinois State Board of Education Director of Special Education, Barbara Moore, talking about services from the State Board of Ed and how families can find out more about that. And then in the second webinar in October was on the HCBS final rule, countdown to implementation. So we do have a variety of things. Our webinars, the webinars from the last 6 months at least, are recorded and available in under the monthly webinars tab on the Arc of Illinois website. If you go to the events section, you'll see upcoming events, and then you'll see there are monthly webinars. And then older than that, we have a few even beyond the last 6 months under the archived webinars tab.
Ah, so the recorded ones, huh?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Very good. So that's probably worth exploring then. So what do you have coming up? There's one coming up fairly soon, right?
Yes. We have the next several months already kind of planned out. February 9th, we have What is the Center for Independent Living with Shelley Richardson from Silk.
Mm-hmm.
Our March webinar, March 9th, is an overview of Equip for Equality with Olga Pribble and Barry Taylor. Our April webinar, we had to cancel our January webinar, so we may replace that, put the January title in April, and it may be an introduction to disability information. We haven't quite figured that out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But May 4th, Supporting Illinois Brothers and Sisters. There's a very active siblings group in Illinois, and super helpful, and they will be doing our webinar in May. June is the Illinois Early Intervention Clearinghouse. They'll be talking about the kind of work that they do and the resources that they have to offer families. July, we're going to be talking about special recreation. I know that it's not available everywhere in the state, but it's certainly one of those important resources in the areas where it exists. And it exists in areas because families, you know, got out there and advocated for it. So we want folks to know about programs like that, and they're going to be our speaker in July.
Wow, it sounds like a great lineup of programs and some great people doing it. So that's always a plus. And I just one question for you, Deb, is, you know, you, I'm sure, take lots of calls, send out lots of information. How many times a week would you say you get a phone call or an email from somebody who just says, you know, I don't even know what questions to ask?
That's very, very common. The kind of systems that we have in Illinois for people with disabilities are pretty complex. You know, you start with, if you know when your child's born, you know, you start with early intervention, and then, you know, before your child turns three, you move on to the school system, and then, you know, you have a few years there, and it, you know, is really kind of an all-consuming effort to get, you know, through the whole school situation, and then all of a sudden it's time for transition to the adult world, whole different set of important things and people and agencies to know about. So people have a multitude of questions. It doesn't matter if you have no idea what you're looking for. We'll do our best to help you. We certainly don't know all the answers, but we will do our best to get folks to people who can help them. So, yeah, you know, the programs of the ARC, there are lots of different places that you can call within the ARC for information. We're kind of the generalist. So, you know, you're welcome to give us a call. We have a toll-free number. It's 1-800-588-7002. I'll repeat that. It's 1-800-588-7002. But people can call us, and if we're not the right place, we'll get them to the folks who can help them.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of people out there who hear all the acronyms and so forth, and, you know, HCBS, what the heck is that? And I
right.
have no idea. And so calling and asking even questions like that could be really helpful.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know there are a couple other things I really wanted to mention that are kind of new.
Please do.
Our Family to Family Health Information Center is also going to be doing monthly webinars. You know, they have a few things coming up. Let's see here. They'll be doing their first three anyway. Federally Qualified Health Centers in January. Illinois Medicaid covers applied behavior analysis, yet it remains difficult to access. What's happening? That will be February, and school health will be the topic in March. You know, that's something I wanted to mention because those will be new. You can find all of the programs of the ARC events under the events tab on the ARC's website. The Ligas Family Advocates Program is doing all kinds of Know Your Options events, so you can find out about services and supports if you're one of those folks who's been lucky enough to get a letter talking about the possibility of funding coming up through DHS. And then one other thing I really wanted to mention is that our Consumer Stipend Program that provides funding for folks to attend conferences and trainings can be used for virtual events. You know, people had, because of COVID, there are virtually no in-person events. But if something that you want to attend, something you want to learn about, and it fits the criteria, but is virtual, you can still use that funding for that. And the funding can also be used for things like child care and a personal support worker if there's a need for that. So just wanted to bring those to the attention of your audience.
I think that's really important. I think that program is way underutilized too.
Oh, gosh. Another thing that's coming with that program, they will be expanding. There was a notice that came out Friday expanding to cover some assistive technology so people can take advantage of the virtual events. And I don't know any more than that. More information will be coming, but stay tuned.
Yeah, sounds great. Why don't you, before we close, why don't you give the phone number, the website one more time so that people have a chance to grab a pen and write that down?
Okay. So the ARC of Illinois website has all of the programs of the ARC and all the information about the ARC, and it's www.theharcofil.org, thearcofil.org. And you can reach Illinois Lifespan at 1-800-588-7002. You can also email us from any of the program pages or the ARC of Illinois website in general, and we'll be happy to respond to your inquiries any of those ways.
So people go get to the Lifespan Project through the ARC website then.
Yes, they can still reach us at www.illinoislifespan.org, but if they go to, I want them to see all of the things that are available from the ARC.
Good
point.
So if
they go to thearcofil.org, under the About Us tab and Programs, they can go to the Illinois Lifespan website from there and see all of the things that we can provide that would be helpful to them.
Well, this has been very helpful, Deb. I hope you get a lot of calls and contacts from our area. I think there are people out there who have a million questions to ask you. So thank you so much for joining me today. Deb Fornoff, coordinator of the ARC of Illinois Lifespan Project. Have a good day.
Thank you, Vicki.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week.
No, I'll stay. Down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down.
You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Coming up next is Food Sleuth Radio. And after that, enjoy lots of other great programming here on WEFT Community Radio. Now, without